You are going to do the introductions today because me, I'm tired. Yeah, you're an organ now. Don't open your eye. Better do it and let me rest.
Introduction.
In 3, 2, 1, all this thing is going to go into the bloopers,
Welcome to the Flat Out Show. It's with your host Komo and myself, co-host Valentine. Today we're on another episode. This is where I don't. The least you could do is give me a script. Like the very least you could do is give me a script. Allow me to study the script and then
Yo,
come. Not tell me.
hey, we don't run with scripts here, bro. We don't run with scripts here, my man.
First of
We
all,
let it
that first
flow.
of all, that's it. First of all, that's a lie. Because half the time you be telling me after you mess up that, oh yeah, I was supposed to give you this. Oh yeah, I was supposed to send you this document.
My guy, today we are going to freestyle everything. And everyone that is listening will understand that we are just having fun. Anyway, thanks for the intro, Valentine. Really appreciate you for doing that. Welcome, guys. This is another episode of the show, Flat Out Komo, Flat Out Show with Komo and Valentine, aka Tino. You guys get
Amen.
used to me. Get used to me calling him Tino because that Valentine does not run, it doesn't go well when I'm talking. But yeah, I'm just saying, it's the truth, bruh. If anyone meets you, it is easier for them to call you Tino than to call you Valentine.
Absolutely not.
Valentine, three syllables for Christ's sake. I can just say Tino, that's two syllables and I'm done with it.
Or hear me out, Val.
Nah, Val is really corny. Like, come on now. February 14, Val. That's
And
the only
Tino
thing
is
I can
not
do.
supposed, and Tino is totally cool, like it's on
Yeah,
concert, man.
Tino, bruh. It sounds Italian now. Hey, Tino, what's good, my man? How you doing, brother? That has a good ring to it, Tino. Sound like those Italian mafias. See, they dull the name. Anyway, sorry, we're just messing around. Today we're gonna be trashing out a little something. I think we've all gone through this as basketball players. The little intricacies in the game of basketball. Over time, we see younger guys come up and they don't know how to get by the details of the game. All those little things that actually takes the game to the next level. And all the things that have pretty much changed over the years, like one with the NBA. In fact, I think globally, there's this hand-checking rule that was taken out of the game. And personally, I feel like the way the game has evolved, we should actually allow hand-checking. Because look at these guys in the NBA. They are scoring 50 points. Doing nothing. 50 points. No one's touching. No one's checking them well. No one can play defense anymore. Back in the day, my MJ scored 45. We did hand checking. Early 2000s, Kobe's, the LeBrons actually put up a lot of numbers. And today, these guys are way more talented, especially on the offensive end. They've got an offensive package that can rule the world. And without the little bits and pieces that the defense can actually do to slow them down. That's why we see guys scoring 50 points, 30, 35 is becoming the new normal, 50, 70s, and all that stuff. So what do you think, Valentine? Should we bring out something? Should we bring back the hand checking rule? Or should we take away the hand checking rule?
I think we should. There's too much offensive leverage in today's game. So bringing back the hand checking rule is going to it's going to add some spice that I don't think we know we need, but I think it's necessary.
Yeah, like the game is pretty much too easy at this point. I know in Europe they still allow a lot of hand checking, especially when it's a really tough game. I remember watching Barcelona versus Baskonia in the EuroLeague. This was some years back, and you could see that the physicality is still there. But in a game like the NBA, where people just want to see guys putting up numbers, I feel we really need to. It needs to change. I'm tired of seeing guys score 50, and everybody thinks like it's a normal thing. And that's the issue with the younger generation. When you see someone score 50, the first thing you come they think is like, I can also score 50. I can also score 50. But when you look at the way these guys do it and it's effortless, I don't know. To me, it's just created some kind of dent in the game of basketball, and I don't like it. I grew up on the 90s, so maybe that's why. I don't know. I'm just speaking for myself. Yeah.
I mean, I don't like it either. I think that it sends out the wrong message. I don't like it either. I mean, I obviously appreciate the fact that people drop these many points, but they're not impressive necessarily. See the kind of defense being played, the high volume of shots, all these different things that they weren't the case years ago, and makes it easier for these guys to drop these amount of points. So I don't necessarily fancy. That's why when I see these, you know, oh, he drops 50 today, drops 60, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess it's overfeeding that, you know, some of us, just the fact that we have gotten too used to the high numbers, so it doesn't really move us anymore.
Do you feel like it is some sort of a marketing scheme with the NBA? Because I remember there was a particular year when their numbers dropped. I think this was before Adam Silver came into play, and the viewership numbers dropped, and I think most of the viewers or guys who watch the NBA a lot were like, okay, it's becoming a fist fight over there. It's really difficult for guys to score, all that stuff. And in the next few years, we saw this huge boost. Guys, games going to 120, 150. And even till date, if you look at the numbers that they're scoring now and the numbers they scored in the 80s, they're almost on par. So which it kind of reinforces the notion that it wasn't really the hand checking. It wasn't really this things that were taken away from the defensive end. It's just the guys at that time were not good enough to score as many points. Does that make any sense? I'm just blabbing.
That's definitely true. No, that's definitely true. The guys now are way more talented. Way more talented.
Right. But yeah, man, I really want to get back into, you know, I was playing the game yesterday. There was this particular possession. I literally pushed this guy. Made so I knew I pushed him. I pushed him off. The guy wrapped my hand around. I pushed him again. And the referee led the game. I'm like, okay, this is what the game should be like. We are going at each other. So let us play. Not every small... It makes no sense, man. It kills the flow.
Maybe they should start with the technicals to reduce those. Then we can go to the fouls because it's becoming something else.
Nah, the referees are... They are on. They need to be fined on every useless call that they make. It's. I don't know what to say, bro. It's becoming disgraceful at this point. It's becoming disgraceful. And if the NBA does not take a look into it, I don't want to see the playoffs at all this year. And I know a lot of people will say that the playoffs is a whole different game and they let them play a lot more. But right, that's to start at this point. We're already at the second half of the season in the NBA, so things need to change.
True. Yeah. True.
So yeah, other stuff, man, the little details of the game, how to get into the pockets, how to get into shooting rhythms, how to get into defensive stance. What are those things that you feel like these younger guys need to learn in order to take their game to the next level?
Learn to play off the ball. Actually, see.
Hold on. Why do you feel so sad before you even get into what you want them to say? You're like, oh my god, I'm about
I really thought this through, and I'm glad that you brought this up now, because we held the tryout for the D1 team, and one of the things that stood out with this particular guy, I think it's from Sierra Leone or something, I can't remember, but he's not Ghanaian and he has only been here for 5 months. One of the things that stood out with him, let's say he's around the same age as myself, which is like 24, so it's not like super, like it's not like in his 20s or 19 or something. He's, you know, relatively older somewhere. But one thing that stood out with this guy was he always wanted the ball. On every single possession, He always wanted the ball. Now, you know my stance on those kind of players. You know my stance on that kind of play. I've seen it literally affect this guy because he didn't make the team. Like, he didn't make the team. I understand that today's game is surround today's game, the offense is emphasized to the point where, oh, you have to hold the ball, you have to shoot well, you have to score this amount of points. I get that. But at the same time, know when to draw the line. When we're playing the scrimmage, and because he was on the same team with myself, when we're playing the scrimmage, but he was playing as a sub, so I played the first two sets on scrimmage. When I played on the team, there was spacing. There was the fact that the point guard could do his job, hand the ball over, there was ball movement. There was a free flow. The point guard hands it to me, I hand it to the center, center moves it to the forward, we keep it moving. Now, when he came in for the third game in the scrimmage, that was the game we now lost. Because the point guard is holding the ball and he's standing right next to the point guard. Literally, like, they're always in the same vicinity. And I was like, come on. Now, that's not the only thing. The problem with it is that we want to play so much offense, we forget that defense is impressive as well. Yeah. But because, you know, the modern NBA does not necessarily highlight that. Mm-hmm. You can see one or two players, but the emphasis of it is not shown. This guy kept leaving his man. Like, it's a scrimmage. You're playing, you're pretty much fighting for your spot. So it's a every man, like, you have to play man. This is not some, you know, zone defense. No, you have to play defense. But his man was always open. 3 points, always open. I kept yelling, play defense, play defense, play defense. Next thing you know, when the message came through, oh, I made the team, I had some of my other guys, and we're like, oh, you made the team. Ah, we're like, we made the team. So we started talking. I was like, I wonder who didn't make the cut. Just curiosity, who didn't make the cut? You know, I was talking to my guy. I was wondering who didn't make the cut.
Because that would be bad.
It can't be public, obviously. Just with no. Just with me and my guy. I was like, I wonder who didn't make the cut. And I pointed this guy out. I said his name. I was like, he's a good player because he's a good offensive player. I was like, then my guy was like, he didn't make it. I'm like, how do you know? Because at that point, we didn't really know. Mm-hmm. You didn't really know all the guys that made the cut. But I was like, how do you know? He's like, I'm telling you that this guy didn't make it. I'm like, how? But, like, knowing the caliber of player he was, I'm like, how wouldn't he make it? Then we have the photo shoot. I'm with the other teammate. Now, I'm trying to keep this private. Obviously, not talking to them as a group because, you know, you don't want to do that kind of thing. So I talked to this other, one of the, like, team captains. And I'm just like, you know, I'm just trying to get the opinion on the guy. He was like, he ain't it, man. I ain't going to lie. So I was like, damn, is that bad? And everything I'm saying, to buttress your point, is this all, I have to play offense and I have to hold the ball. Nobody, I do not enjoy playing with players who cannot go two possessions. Like, I can go multiple possessions without touching the ball. Now, which is why I feel like you can't talk to me when I, that's why I go for offensive rebounds. Because once I get them, I know that that's mine. I earned that. This is not they drew a play for me, they set a play for me. No, don't do that. I think that's left for, you know, the OGs in the team, the Babas in the team. No problem. I don't mind. Yeah. I don't even want to take the 10 shots a game. As long as you miss and I go for an offensive rebound, and once I grab that board, whether I decide to pass you or whether I decide to put back, that's now my business, not yours, because you missed.
Right.
But not a lot of people would necessarily go with that mentality. Everybody wants plays drawn for them or taking 10, 15 shots a game. It's not possible. It's not.
It isn't, honestly speaking. I don't know if it is the way, I think, like you mentioned, the way the game has changed and evolved to just being an offensive game. But defense actually makes it a lot easier to get a flow on offense. I tell a lot of people, especially those younger guys that I trained back when I was home, like, if you are able to stay on the court or just by your defense, all the shots that you are looking for, all the, you know, you wanting to take more shots in the game, it will definitely come because, well, one, you are on the floor. You can't take shots if you are on the bench, for Christ's sake. So at least do something to keep your ass on the floor. But, man, I don't know. It takes a lot of talking to actually get across to these guys. But if this continues like this, how do you think the next 10 years is going to be? Now, we got guys like the Wembanyamas, who is an offensive, is an offensive nightmare. 7'5", can shoot, can dribble, can get to the rim, does his job defensively as well. But everyone sees him as the prospect who can actually do everything on the offensive floor well or very well, and can just be the big guy in the middle who can swat away shots. Now, we are not looking so much at what he does on defense, because all we've seen so far is everything he can do on offense. Now, if you pick out those guys coming in the 2023 draft, or the 2024 draft, wherever it is, 2023, 2024, those guys are going to take this touch of being the offensive giants, or the mammoths coming in for the next 10 years. Now, do you feel the game actually changes a little bit once these guys come in? Or it's still going to just, we are still going to stick on this offensive ride all the way through till the end of time?
I think everything is a phase, so we're still going to stick with this ugly phase of what is it? Ugly phase of 80% offense, 20% defense. It's going to take a while before we get to a point where, you know, we're going to have a bunch of guys who actually are interested in playing defense at a high level. But for now, we're going to have to stick with the, you know, with the offense.
I feel you. And not to discredit anyone scoring 50, 60 points, man. Scoring those, that amount of points is not easy. We're not saying it is easy. We're not trying to discredit them. But we're just saying that for the level at which these players have gotten, for the way, how highly skilled they are at the moment, we feel like the defense needs to be given a lot of liberty to actually try to defend and not just, you know, stand out there as cones. Because a lot of times we see guys that are scared or don't want to actually defend because they don't want to step off the floor. Because once you get 1-2 fouls just for a little tap here, you're out. True. You can't play. So it makes no sense. Another thing I wanted to touch on when it comes to the intricacies are players understanding angles. I, for one, I'm a big... I talk about this every time because I feel like the game of basketball revolves around you knowing what angles to attack or to defend at. Now, for me, if I'm going to attack on offense, I always try to pick a 45 degree angle, which is never straight down the middle, but towards the sideline or towards the baseline. Now, I know that I'm able to go both ways because right now I have the defender on a 30 degree angle. These are some little things I have picked up, because if you stand around the free throw extended area, you've got two ways to go. You can either go towards the baseline or towards the middle. Now, in most cases, there's always going to be help on both sides if you go straight down the middle, which is coming up the court and you're splitting the basketball court into two halves. But if you stay on the free throw line extended, now you've got the angle to attack on the baseline where you can actually tell someone to clear out and get that place open to you, and you still have the angle to the middle. Now, the plus thing, like I said, is you've got the defender in a 30-degree angle because now he has to make a decision on where he's opening up, and he doesn't have help on both sides. So you're able to switch or change the angles that the defender is able to go to and depict what he does by your moves. How many times do you feel like players know what angle to attack on, even on offense? We are not even talking defense now. On offense. How many times do you feel like, okay, this guy is actually focusing on doing this or switching this guy's body position so he can get this length to the bucket, or he's just tossing up random moves and hoping for the best?
I mean, from the way I see it, it's usually tossing up random moves. A bunch of crossover there, and then take it to the basket, try to finish strong. Well, me, I know
I
that I
don't
have
like the
future,
fact that you
so
are sad about this
unless
thing. I don't like it. The way you are just like, ah, God, God.
man, like when you see these things play out. When you see these things play out in real time, it makes you wonder, don't people just want things easier? Like when you have the option to have things easier, like why don't you just want things easier? I mean, personally, just like you calculated yourself, the best angle for me, like the most comfortable angle for scoring is through the middle, like through the middle. And I can always get through the middle, even though like there's obviously a defender right in front of me. But obviously, most people think because I'm right-handed that I'm always going to go right. They don't know that I'm
Exactly.
also left-handed, so they don't know that I'm also left-handed. So like I'm usually shifting, and I don't like to dribble too much. Like I honestly do not like it. So it's always that just one jab to the right, snatch back to the left, because I like to go left. I love to go left. When I go left, it opens up three options for me. Opens up the right-hand layup, the left-hand layup, and the floater. So that's why that middle is my favorite spot, because I don't really know how to do a floater. Like I'm still learning how to do a floater properly through the baseline. So when I go through the middle, which is my favorite, one way or the other, it's always there. And I do not necessarily like using screens. I just want to go all
Why?
my. So once the contact is coming, I just don't. I prefer players.
You
I
like
prefer the
Lala?
teammates. No, I
You
prefer
like
my
Lala?
teammates to set screens for themselves so I can give them the ball, because I'm not looking to score necessarily. But then if I am, then I'm going through the middle. And then obviously, if the big man and everything comes, then we're floating it. But to answer your question, I don't think people necessarily know their spot, which is why when you see a good mid-range shooter, it's always enticing, because they always know where to pick up the ball. You always see their body language, always know, oh, this is my spot, switch. Oh, this is give that jab, this is my spot, switch. But for most people, it's just done in heat of the moment. Like, oh, I'll just shoot because I have to check the shot up, not because I know that that's my spot.
I understand you. And it's even great that you actually brought up mid-range shots, because for me, I think I've made my living off the mid-range. I'm not the greatest three-point shooter, which equal kind of equates the amount of shots I take from the three-point line. I don't take as much as people say I should. But when it comes to that mid-range game, people are scared of actually shooting the mid-range shots. It's something I spoke on in the last season, where someone put out a tweet. I can't remember who it was. They put out a tweet like, the mid-range game is going extinct. And I'm like, do you really understand why it is going extinct? Or you just said it because you see a lot of guys shooting a lot of three-point shots? There are some guys, because we watch the NBA a lot, there are some guys in the NBA that really want to take a mid-range shot. But with the way analytics works nowadays, it's either you get to the bucket or you take a three. No one wants the mid-range shot. And they said the field goal percentage around the mid-range area is actually lower compared to the years before. So analytics have actually discouraged a lot of guys. Even though they work on that shot every day, they've told them that, guy, if you are not going to get to the rim, better go and take three-point shots. No sit down for me to come and shoot one guy in mid-range. But you look at the guys that actually try from the mid-range, the KDs, Kyrie's, DeRozan, even the guys that we don't see take so many mid-range shots, like Steph. Once he's able to get in the mid-range, he knows where he's going to, and he's definitely going to make that shot. So it pisses me off that people do not try as much as possible to master the skill. Devin Booker has shown over time that if he gets in his spots around the mid-range, he's going to make a bucket. If he's not even going to make a bucket, he's going to create so much opportunities for his teammates. Different looks, because now the defense have to actually react to you. You are the number one scoring guy on the team. You can score at three levels. You can score at the rim. You can get in the mid-range. And you can shoot a three. If we looked at Harden over the years, it was either a three-point shot or getting to the rim. And sometimes you see a lot of guys stepping away from him from the mid-range. I'm like, bro, this guy is an offensive juggernaut. If you cannot stop at the mid-range or find a spot where you can get to, and that's in the perimeter, and you can't make a shot, then you're not as much as a threat as people think you are. I'm just saying, I don't know, man, but that is how me I see the game. If you cannot get a shot from the mid-range, bro, you're not as good as you think you are. So please, brothers and sisters, youngsters, listen. You create so much opportunity from just getting the ball around that perimeter, inside the key, because now the defense has to make a decision. And once you're able to get a few shots there, either they step up or they try to play you high net, other things open as well. The three-point shots, you getting by them and all that stuff. And yeah, back to what we're talking about. Defense. Same thing on defense and the angles on defense. I also try to translate that back. What am I saying? When I was talking about angles on offense, I also tried to translate that back on defense, because our job as defenders is to make the offensive guy work as much as possible. Now, not necessarily to block his shots, but to make it life miserable for him. So if he's going to take 30 shots, if he normally takes 20 shots and he makes 15, you want him to take 30, 35 before he makes that 15. Basically, if you do that, you've done your job. It's the same thing I look at when guys are coming down on offense against me on defensively. What angles do they find difficult to get to? What angles do they find easy to get to? And how to push them away from these angles? Still, I'm going to put out this question to you. Do you feel like guys defending actually understand this little detail?
I think they do. I mean, a reasonable amount, I think they do. Because when you see lockdown defenders, which I have seen a lot of them and play with a lot of them, you know that they know what they're doing.
True.
So I definitely think that they do.
Yeah. And I also feel like defense is all about you not wanting the other guy to score. A lot of times, people come out and say they teach different principles on defense. And I always say this to myself, like, if you don't want this guy to score on you, he's not going to score on you. If you say it to yourself that I am not going to let you score, yes, you're going to get a few points. You're probably going to get 15, 20 points. But like we said, we want you to take more shots to get to that amount of points. So if you say to yourself that whatever it takes, I'm going to do, regardless of how skilled you are not going to score on me. And this guy will actually find it difficult. But a lot of people don't put as much effort into defense as they do on the offensive end. And we all know that because of the way the game is now. So
I can't wait for this phase to pass.
We still have a few more years, man. We have a few more years of it. Let's keep praying that things change. We can only hope that things change. We can only hope.
True.
The final thing I want us to talk about before we get all off this is shot selection. This is a global problem. This is a global, it's a pandemic. It is the pandemic in basketball at the moment. Everybody wants to shoot every shot. Everybody wants to shoot every shot. And not everybody can shoot every shot. What's your own opinion about shot selections nowadays?
They are mostly terrible these days. Obviously, with the NBA culture of heat check, especially that, you know, you have guys just jacking up shots and just because. See, now this is something I want to talk about. So, when we're playing a scrimmage, for example, and I like to use this example because, like, I don't know, everything just happened in that scrimmage. So I'm paired with my, it's myself, other forward, this good shooter, and this other good shooter. So there are two good shooters on the team, myself and this forward. Now, I'm going to tell you that I do a lot of things well, but I'm not going to act like shooting is one of them that I do very well. Now, I'm going to say I do a lot of things very well, but shooting is not there yet. So playing the scrimmage and the ball, there's the ball movement, there's the rotation. Ball movement allows it to open man, right? That's the essence of it. To move the defenders, to confuse them. So now the forward, the guard, one of the guard passes it to the forward. The forward passes it to me, and I'm the open man. So I should shoot the shot, right? Because I'm the open man. That's exactly what we worked for. But instead of shooting that shot, I take a slight second for the defenders to collapse a little more, just a little more. And I'm kicking it back out to the better shooter. Because in as much as I'm free, in as much as I'm open, he has a better efficiency. He has a better shot percentage. So I'm giving it to him because he's more likely to make it than I would. It's
Facts.
simple ABC.
How about you?
I think the delusion of saying, oh, because I'm open, and I get that. I mean, you take some of them, but then when it counts the most, you give it to a better shooter. That's just mine. I think that's a better shot selection. Because I just because you are free doesn't necessarily mean
You should
it's
shoot
for
it.
you.
Yeah.
So I think shot selection, man, it'd be bad. And it goes back to the offensive thing that everybody wants to score, everybody wants to drop a certain amount of points, everybody wants to be that guy. And because we assume, or most of us assume, that the one way to being that guy is to score a certain amount of points. No, like there are other ways to be that guy.
Oh, no
And
one
plus,
likes that, man. No.
when people don't do statistics well, especially, I mean, not the people that I'm around. They don't do statistics well. When it does, the statistics show that this guy is a better shooter than myself, why would I be taking more 3-point shots? It doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't. I'm good at something else, or I shoot better in the mid-range, I'll ask you. So, yeah, but like if I'm at the 3-point, nah, man, just the level of shot selection is poor. You can see that the IQ is, it's getting there. It's getting there by God's grace, but it's definitely not anywhere near.
It's getting there by God's grace. God no go do anything for us, so let's forget that one. God isn't doing shit for us. You have to do it yourself. If at this stage,
True.
like, people don't get to understand that the game is more than what we actually see on the surface, then it is going to take a little longer for them to get passed down. And especially that's why I worry for a lot of our guys that are coming out from Africa, whether it be Ghana, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, wherever it is. Once they get to the next stage, they begin to see the things in a different light, especially in Europe. A lot of guys that are going to the US, they have this mentality that, okay, I'm going there to rule, I'm going to there to be the guy. I like to tell people that the US doesn't really develop players. They actually take what you know how to do and try to like amplify it. Okay, they are not trying to add so much to your skill already. You are coming from wherever you are coming from. If you are the best shooter from that state, okay, let's try to get you to be the best shooter in the United States. They are not looking on whether you want to be the best ball handler. What you know how to do, they're trying to amplify. But if you go to Europe, those guys really teach you the bits and pieces of the game. They pick out the game and let you understand that, okay, if this is not working, this is the next thing you can go to. This is how you can grow your game. All those other pieces. But I hope and I pray to God. I just said that God is not going to do anything for us, but I pray to God. Please, Baba, teach these children to see the light. I know you're not going to put the work in for them, but honestly, they really need to work on a lot of
we really stuff. Need the intelligence. We really need the intelligence to read the game beyond our physicality, the aggressiveness, strength. Like, we really need to read the game. Like, we need to read the game.
Facts. But yeah, that's all we are discussing today on the intricacies. But we are going to definitely get back to this very soon, because when we talk about the intricacies of the game, it's far and wide. It's bigger than what we can actually cover in one episode. But then, thank you guys for joining. You know what to do, the good stuff. You can check out our podcast, The Flat Out Show. We have our website live. Please help us. Help us. We are trying to get this to another level. That's why this guy is smiling. He's using scope to give you eye. Give them eye well. Tell your people to do the right thing.
Send funds. We need money. We need money.
Bad. Send funds. Who is going to start the GoFundMe now? You know you. That is, you know, you're blown now.
Yeah. I'll start the campaign. The campaign.
Let's
with
go.
With the little followers I have.
Cash out. You have my account.
You'll be available. Man, don't be doing no account number, man. You're in the UK. Behave. Over here, we did differently. What did they do? Oh, no, you people use regular bank, so we'll put my own. I have, you know, people all over the world, so that money. See, the money will come, but you people need to actually give. That's the only way you can grow, and that's the only way this guy can pay for his Zoom.
I'm going to take that as a shot, and I'm coming back at you very soon. All right, man. Thank you, guys, man. See you on the next episode. Peace. Yeah, I know this guy. So-